All right, thanks. Good morning, everybody. My name is Fred Wilson. I'll be the hearings officer for today's public hearing. This is the time set aside for the application in the Cusack Solar case. The file number is Z0366-20-C. Before I go into my normal statements, Mr. Glasgow is going to go through how everybody will participate through the Zoom meeting. Hopefully that will answer any questions anybody has about how this will go.
Okay, we've got a script here that I'm going to read. I've got a couple of leaf blowers going really close to my house outside, so if you can't hear me, that's why. I can't hear you right now. But Clackamas County is abiding by social distancing requirements during the coronavirus pandemic, so this public hearing is being conducted virtually using the Zoom platform. Panelists for today's hearing, which includes the hearings officer, county staff, and the applicant, have both audio and video capability. Audience members who have joined the meeting will have their mics muted unless they wish to testify, in which case they will be called upon to do so by the county staff moderator. Audience members' videos will not be turned on at any time. Today's hearing is being recorded as required by law. The county will make every effort to post the recording on the website soon. There is a designated time during the hearing when it will be open for testimony. The hearings officer will make it clear when this is. If you want to provide testimony, you will utilize the raise hand feature. Or given the small turnout this morning, you will simply raise your hand. When the moderator switches you over to provide testimony, your screen will look different for a little while. Primarily, you will see all participants' cameras, not just the one who is speaking. Staff will call upon you when it's time for you to provide testimony. Be sure to provide your name and mailing address when you begin. Once you have provided your testimony, your mic will be muted and your screen will be returned to normal. If the record is left open at the end of the hearing and you wish to submit additional written testimony, email testimony to me, and I'm going to put up a slide during the PowerPoint and at the end with the particulars on that. And you're going to send it to me, and I'm going to get it by 4 p.m. on the day the record closes if the record is left open. People who testify and provide their mailing address will receive a copy of the hearings officer's written decision. If you do not wish to testify but would still like to receive the decision, please provide your email or standard mailing address, and we will do so. And you're going to do that again by working with me, or you can just give it to us during this meeting. And with that, I will send it back to the hearings officer.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Glasgow. Mr. Groger, I know you've been through this a number of times, but there are a few things, Mr. Knapp, that I have to talk about if there's five people here or 500 people. So just if everyone will bear with me, I'll try to do it quickly. So today is the opportunity for people to testify and present as evidence and make legal arguments. I don't make a decision today. There'll be a later written decision that comes out after the record's closed. I need to disclose that I've had any ex parte contacts, that's any discussions about the merits of the case before today. I haven't. The only thing I know about this case is what I've received from the planning department that's in the file and in the staff report. I need to disclose whether I'm biased, whether I'm for or against the application for any reason other than the merits, and I'm not. I'm not familiar with the parties or the property. I don't have any reason to feel one way or the other. Finally, I need to disclose whether I have any conflicts of interest. I don't. I'm in private practice in Salem. I don't have any clients in Clackamas County, let alone anywhere near the subject property. I don't own property in Clackamas County or have family that owns property in Clackamas County. The way this is going to work is we will start with the staff report from Mr. Glasgow. After that, the applicant, you'll have a chance to present your case. Right now, we don't have anybody else, but if anybody, actually we do. So after that, anybody who wants to testify in favor of the application can testify. After that, anybody who's opposed to the application can testify, or if they just have questions or concerns, staff is usually really helpful about answering questions like that, even though it's sort of above and beyond the call of duty. After that, staff will have a chance to respond to any issues that come up. And finally, the applicant will have an opportunity for final rebuttal since they have the burden of proof. If you do testify, please give us your name and address so that shows up on the record. Also, direct your testimony to the approval criteria. Those are the only things I can make my decision based upon. They are listed in the staff report. They are primarily the conditional use approval criteria under section 1203. Make sure you raise any and all issues you have regarding them. If you don't raise those issues, you may be precluded under state law from raising those in the future if there are any further proceedings or appeal of this case. Also, the applicant, there are a number of proposed conditions of approval. If you have any concerns with those, think they may be unconstitutional takings or any other issues, make sure you raise those issues, or under state law, you'd be precluded from raising those in the future as well. I think with that, we can turn to the staff report.
Okay, thank you, thank you. This is a, whoops, hey, Darcy, Could you light me up so I can share my screen? Thanks. Hang on 1 second here. Well, that's interesting. Okay, there it goes. All right. And let me get organized here. Sorry. I'm going to share that. I got it. Okay. All right. So this is the general location of the property, looking from, you know, way out there. It's file number 366-20. This is a SAG solar. This is a 10-acre photovoltaic solar proposal on property east of Sandy. I've got the map up here just to get us oriented a little bit to things. East of Sandy, as I said, approximately Shorty's Corner. For those of you who are not particularly familiar with the area, Shorty's Corner is generally known as the intersection of Highway 26 with Furwood Road. There's an old business there run by Shorty. You may also recognize this from the old veneer mill, which was located just south of the property that had been there forever. And it's been repurposed as being used for other items now. As I mentioned, it's a conditional use proposal. And just before I launch into this, there's a total of five of us here. We've got two staff, and then the form of myself and Darcy, the moderator. We have the hearings officer, Mr. Fred Wilson. We have the applicant, represented both by the property owner, Mr. John Knapp, and Andy Grogan. There's nobody else present.
Actually, I think we do. I think we have someone named Marge is an attendee now, so.
Okay, hang on a minute. We do, good. All right, then I'm going to go with a full meal deal. All right. So here's our proposal, 10-acre photovoltaic solar panels. Project area is where I mentioned. They're on property east of Shorty's Corner, north side of Highway 26 off of Veneer Lane. There's no particular site address for this one. Just to narrow it down, here's the outskirts of Sandy, Oregon right here. Here's our subject property. It's about 100 acres, give or take, 98. Current use, it's in non-intensive farm use in the form of Christmas trees. And it also has forested areas. This is quite steep here, by the way, where it drops off into those trees. It goes into that tributary.
I don't think we can see your screen anymore, Mr. Glasgow.
Really?
At least I can.
Let me hang on a minute. How about now?
There we go.
We're looking at it. Okay, thanks.
Yeah.
All right, so this is about 100 acre piece, 98. There's no house. There's just a couple of farm outbuildings. Generally speaking, it's in, like I say, non-intensive farm use, Christmas trees, and timber production. Here's our proposed site plan. Unfortunately, this isn't quite the same scale, and there's quite a bit of information on here. But this is a proposed 10-acre of solar, and I'm going to get into why it's shaped like that in a minute. Hint, it's based on contours. As a conditional use, this is subject to a variety of code sections. Section 1203 itself is the umbrella that kind of covers everything else for conditional use. The underlying zone in this case is timber. Then you've got some development review standards we're also going to look at. We've processed many applications for solar. I don't know off the top of my head, but I think 28 or 29 now. Nearly all of them have been in EFU zones, farm zones. We've had a couple, I think four total, in timber zones. This is a relatively unusual application in that it's in the timber zone. That being the case, state administrative rule, the Division 33 standards do not apply. So this is much more of a local decision-making process. Conditional use, there are six criteria that must be met. All six must be met or it must be denied. The first criterion requires the applicant show and the county find that the use is provided for as a conditional use. In this case, in the underlying timber zone at section 706, table 1, we have what's described as commercial utility facility for the purpose of generating power, subject to other subsections there. Second criterion, the applicant needs to show that the characteristics of the site itself are adequate to support the use. And this is based on size, location, shape, the topography, natural features, that kind of thing. I went into detail in the staff report on this and was able to find, you know, make positive findings here that the site itself can support the use. The third criterion needs to be shown that that the transportation system itself is adequate to support the use, and that the safety requirements of Section 1007 are met. I asked our own transportation engineering department for comments. They submitted comments and were able to find that, yes, the transportation network is adequate to support this use, and that safety standards are met. This type of activity is unoccupied, generates very little traffic. I'll let the applicant talk about that, but generally, you know, once a month, maybe for maintenance, cleaning panels, that kind of thing. Otherwise, it doesn't generate any traffic. The fourth criterion needs to be shown that the proposed use will not alter the character of the surrounding area in a way that substantially limits, impairs, or precludes the use of those surrounding properties for the uses that are allowed outright in the zoning district. I'm going to get into this a little more later. Staff report goes into further detail, but basically this criterion, applicant needs to show, county needs to find that this use is going to be able to coexist with its neighbors, that the use will not have such deleterious impacts on surrounding allowed uses that it should be denied. Next criterion, you've got to show that the proposal satisfies applicable plan policies. These are the broad policy statements in the county's comprehensive plan. I went over a couple of them that I thought might apply. This particular use is kind of a little bit challenging to stick them into some of those boxes, but made findings there. And it also needs to be shown that this proposed use can satisfy any applicable requirements of the zoning district itself, which is timber in this case, and any overlay districts in which the subject property is located. There are none in this case. I'm going to go back here. Hang on 1 second. Because I've been wanting to have this up the whole time anyway. So this is our subject property right here. And I'm not trying to make you dizzy. I'm just trying to beam in on it. And Mr. Knapp, and I'm going to get a headache if I don't remember. I'm just spacing on the name of that stream in the back. So hopefully somebody's going to be able to tell me what that is. But hang on 1 second.
It's Cedar Creek.
Thank you. It's pretty significant drainage, and I'm going to light this up with contours here just to show why the trees are, why that line is there. And that's why. You can see it drops off quite steeply to the north and east there down into the creek. The area proposed for use kind of follows the edge of that and, you know, out into the, you know, relative flat area. Compared to that, but it's really very steep in there. As far as other natural features beyond that steepness, there are none. The property itself does not have any identified wetlands or habitat area. And interesting to me, anyway, as a geologist, there's not even any active landslides mapped on that very steep slope in the back. Otherwise, let me get rid of the contours. This is the old veneer mill out here, and again, this has been redone. There's some marijuana uses in there, and I can't remember what else. But it's no longer the veneer mill. That is one of the direct neighbors. That's in a rural industrial zoning district, and from an impact standpoint, I was able to find pretty simply that these two would not have any problem interacting together. I'm putting up the zone boundaries. This is just east of Sandy, and because of that, this is an area that, you know, it was already developed when zoning got here. How's that? So because of that, we got a real mishmash. I've got the zoning boundaries lit up. North side Highway 26, excuse me, this is Highway 26. North side is generally in TBR zoning timber, with the exception of the rural industrial zone. This is the approximate location of the proposed 10-acre photovoltaic. In the larger area, you've got a rural residential zoning across Highway 26 to the south. You've also got EFU zoning across Highway 26 to the south, and you've got the city just to the west. So there really is a lot going on in there already. the timber zone, as I mentioned, we don't get into the Division 33 standards for solar on EFU. We're dealing with our local codes, which limit photovoltaic solar to 10 acres within timber zoning, and also findings need to be made that those 10 acres will not have negative impacts on farming in the area, farming or forest practices in the area or on this subject property, and that the land will not be permanently disturbed in such a way that it cannot be returned to farm or forest practices once the life of this photovoltaic facility has come and gone. And I was able to make findings on that. With that, I can tell I'm starting to wander. So why don't I step back for a little bit? And I'm obviously going to be here for questions and for detail.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Glasgow. No questions for you right now. So Mr. Grogan, Mr. Knapp, this is your opportunity to present your case.
Perfect. I might share my screen and you might tell me if you can see it. Can everyone see that?
Yes.
Perfect. Okay, great. Good morning. For the record, my name is Enda Grogan, and I am representing Sulla Solar and Cusack Solar in this morning's hearing. I'd like to start by thanking everyone for making the effort to be here. Given the circumstances, it hasn't been easy, and I appreciate that Clackamas County has continued as business as usual with their agenda. So I know many of you have seen this deck before, particularly Hearings Officer Wilson and Mr. Glasgow. But for the rest, I might just run through this quickly. So the testimony contents will start off with an introduction into Sulla Solar. We will then look into the specific project details. I'll finish off with a section on the Oregon Community Solar Program, which we hope to submit this project into. And then after some questions, if there are any, I will pass it on to John for his testimony. So Sulla Solar are a development company, a solar development company that are based out of Portland. Our day-to-day activities include identifying suitable sites, acquiring a grid connection with the utility, which is PGE in this situation. We then agree a lease contract with landowners. We obtain land use and building permits. We then subscribe for a community solar program, which I will further detail later on in the presentation. And then we construct and operate. So just a brief detail on how we identify our sites. There are three main factors that we take into consideration when identifying sites. The first is that we look for sites that are close to three-phase distribution power. We look for areas that have sufficient consumption to support the increase in energy generation. We then look for an amenable landowner who is open to signing a lease with us. And then we look for suitable locations from a permitting perspective. So this would take into account the soils profiles, whether there are wetlands, floodplains, or wildlife issues. We look for sites that ideally have independent access and that have a low visual impact on surrounding properties, with a hope of showing that the introduction of the project won't negatively impact any of the surrounding land uses. So just briefly before I get into the project specifics, a solar project such as this one generates on average 40 jobs during the construction phase. It generates approximately $20,000 per annum in tax revenue for the county. Having local generation facilities like this dotted around the county increase local energy security, which is very pertinent at the moment, given the recent fires. The Oregon Community Solar Program, which I will detail further in the presentation, allows consumers to subscribe and reduce their electricity bills. And then with most of our landowners, they take the the lease payments and finance other activities that take place on their properties. When we compare solar development to other developments, it's relatively benign, it's quiet and pretty passive. So now the next few slides are just going to look at the project itself. So as Clay has given some detailed information into us I'll look at the top line stuff. So it's 3 miles southeast of Sandy. It's zone timber and it's 98 acres in size. We chose this site because from a permitting perspective, it ticks all our aforementioned boxes. It's in adherence to the arable soils definitions. It has close proximity to the grid infrastructure that runs down Highway 26. We feel that the introduction of the project won't negatively impact surrounding farm uses. And we feel like there is sufficient setback from the wetlands on the property and there are no floodplains or wildlife issues. So the next couple of slides are just going to look at the submission, so the application itself that we submitted a few months back. In Appendix 3, we identified and inventoried all surrounding land uses, inventorying all their respective access points and all their common practices. The result of which showed that the common practices can continue without any change. There will be no change to access points and there will be no increase in the costs associated with farming these parcels. So this kind of finishes off saying that only 10 acres are being removed from farmland, thus satisfying county and state codes. We also included a soil erosion and compaction plan, which was commissioned to a suitably qualified engineer, which details how soil compaction and erosion will be minimized through a number of best management practices. As well as this, we also included a weed control report, which details the weeds that have potential to occur on or near the site. It also details the construction and operation best management practices that we intend to include and also the long-term maintenance plan going forward. Along with the aforementioned reports, we also included a national wetlands inventory map, a floodplain map, a signed preliminary statement of feasibility, an agricultural pest plan, a National Resources Conservation Service soil map, and also a map showing that the site is in adherence to the 80 acre within 1 mile rule. Now, briefly before I conclude, just a small part on the Oregon Community Solar Program. Our previous projects that have been submitted in the county have been PURPA projects, and we intend on submitting this one into the Oregon Community Solar Program. So basically this allows consumers within the PGE utility territory to subscribe to the program, allowing them to get a portion of a project, which basically just allows people without roof or land space to access the solar benefits that they may not be able to access otherwise. So finally, to wrap things up, we feel like we have selected an appropriate site. Staff deemed our submission complete. The planning staff also recommended approval, and we feel like we're in adherence to all state and county codes, satisfying all criteria. So that wraps up my section. I'm more than happy to take any questions that you, Mr. Wilson, or Mr. Glasgow may have, or anyone else at that fact.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Mr. Grogan. So why is it Cusack Solar? Usually there's a stream or something that you get the name from.
Cusack Solar. That's a good question. Cusack is Cusack is a surname of a very famous Irish Republican. Who would have fought back in the War of Independence in Ireland. So we decided to use a name that would be fitting for such a project.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe it was John Cusack, the actor, but okay. That one,
no,
that's a good story.
Unfortunately not.
Okay. Well, thanks for answering that. That was my only question. So, Mr. Knapp, this is your chance to testify.
John Knapp, P.O. Box 1360, Sandy, Oregon. My main testimony would just be in support of the fact that it will not affect the surrounding uses of ag and forestry. That's really why we picked this site. It's actually on the north side of our Christmas trees, so which we plan on continuing to grow. Therefore, our trees won't get so tall as to shade their panels, and whatever they do there really won't affect the growth of Christmas trees. It's a 6E classified soils for the most part, which makes it very limited into uses for farming or agriculture. And we also completely surround this site with our property, which makes it very unobtrusive to any of the neighbors. And as far as we could tell, no effect to any property owners around us. So unless there's other questions, that's probably the extent of input that I can give you that would be beneficial.
Okay, thanks. Just in relation to the Knapp, we had a case 2 weeks ago, a little farther west on the other side of 26.
He would be my brother.
Okay, so it's a family kind of business thing. Well, great. I didn't have any other questions for you, so thank you. I think the only other person we have is Marge, so don't have her last name, but if you would like to testify, Marge, now would be the time to do it. Okay.
Yeah, just to say that it sounds good and would be in favor of it.
Okay. And Marge, could you give us your last name and your address, please?
Oh, Stuart. It's 49025 Southeast Wildcat Mountain.
Okay. Sandy.
Yeah, and his past experience has been responsible, and so it's good.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. Was that all you wanted to add?
Yeah, that's it.
Thank you. We appreciate when people are concise with their testimony. So thank you. So, Mr. Glasgow, is there anything that came up that you'd like to respond to?
There's one additional exhibit, Exhibit 4. I got comments from Sandy Fire number 72 yesterday. Frankly, they are just standard type comments, but I wanted to enter them into the record, and the hearings officer will get a copy of those comments.
Okay, so they're not, no objections?
Just, no.
Okay, great. Because I haven't seen those yet, sir, as you said. Mr. Grogan, anything you want to add on rebuttal?
No, I would like to thank you, Ms. Stewart, for your input, and I would also like to just make it clear for the record that we're happy with all conditions associated with the application.
Thank you. Okay. Well, I think with that, we can conclude the public hearing. There haven't been any requests to keep the record open, so we can close the record as well. I'm required to have my decisions out within 3 weeks at the latest. Should be a lot sooner than that. I don't think any mail goes out until next week, but so early next week, this should be coming out. So, and everything looks great. So, with that, thank you, everybody. That'll conclude today's proceedings.
Thanks.
Thank you, everyone.
Yeah, and bye.
Have a great rest of your day.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.